There's a long history of torture being connected to U.S. foreign policy.
Father Roy Bourgeois is a priest with the Maryknoll Order.
As a young man years ago in Vietnam, I remember the pilots laughing, bragging about how they tortured the Vietnamese prisoners, the Viet Cong, how they were taken up in these helicopters over the jungle. They would have 10 or 12 of them, and they would simply question them by the door over the jungle. And if they didn't talk, they simply threw them out of the helicopter. And then the second would be questioned. If he didn't talk, he'd be thrown out of the helicopter. Then they thought it was funny because the third and the fourth and the fifth were giving them all kinds of information. Back then, I did not critique my country's foreign policy. It was such trust we had in those in Washington. And when they said that we should go off to Vietnam to stop the spread of communism, I'd been in the military now for 3 years, out at sea for a couple years, at a NATO station for a year. And I thought, this sounded good. They said our cause was noble, that we were going to be the liberators, the same language we're using, of course, today toward Iraq. And I bought into that lie and how easy it is for our leaders to take the lie and call it truth, to take the evil and call it good. And so I went to Vietnam, as many did, and it was a turning point in my life. The suffering, the violence, the death began to change me. And losing friends there, wounded there, I must say I began now to, for the first time, to question things, to look at my country's foreign policy for the very first time with critical eyes.
Bourgeois lost a lot of his hope there, but regained it through peacemaking movements and became a priest. He went to El Salvador, joined in solidarity with struggles of the working poor. He found that people were living in horrible conditions and suffered violence at the hands of the military.
I had more fear in El Salvador than I had in Vietnam or Bolivia. There was such an abuse of power. The knock, coming on the door at night. It's the death squads. They're looking for the so-called subversives, the comunistas. They're the students. They're the campesinos, who were paid a dollar a day for picking beans for the oligarchy there, for the patrons. They're the religious, the spiritual leaders, human rights advocates, healthcare workers. They were the targets. Anyone who was critical of the military or of U.S. military aid there. And they were disappeared. They were killed, thousands. And they had no recourse to justice. They couldn't go, to the local police station, get an attorney to defend themselves. It was something I had never seen before.
Several church leaders were killed there, including two nuns from his organization. Carlos Mauricio, a professor who was in El Salvador, knows all too well about torture. When he was picked up in 1983 by death squads, a special unit of the army, he knew his fate.
I didn't care about being killed. I was afraid of being tortured. So when they came and tortured me, I told myself, I am dead. Because I knew it. I have seen in San Salvador, I have seen hundreds of corpses thrown on the streets with signs of being tortured.
As international concern grew over massacres and violence, a U.S. congressional task force was formed. They found that many of those responsible for the atrocities were trained at the U.S. Army School of Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia. In September 1996, the Washington Post broke the story that from 1982 to 1991, the school used training manuals that instructed students on torture, blackmail, and execution. Father Bourgeois calls the School of Americas a terrorist training camp.
These soldiers came to the United States, again, all paid for by the taxpayer, to learn combat skills. They learned commando operations. They learned psychological warfare, counterinsurgency.
Every year in November, thousands gather at Fort Benning, Georgia, to protest the school. Now renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, The school has graduated over 60,000 soldiers from 19 countries. It was the height of the Cold War. Mauricio says the United States focused its attention on Latin America out of fear another country would convert to communism, like the Soviet-backed Cuba did.
They kept asking me, "You have been in Cuba?" I say, "No, I never been in Cuba." But at that moment, it was very important to them to find Salvadorians confessing that they've been in Cuba, because Mr. Reagan was interested to show the Havana connection. So after several days of being tortured, I said, "Okay, that's right. Okay, I've been in Cuba. Don't torture me anymore." And the guy said, you're an idiot. Why you didn't confess from the beginning?" And then he said, "Now, you are going to tell me who gave you the money, who came with you, who gave you the passport, which is your connection in Mexico, and the name of the military training camp in Cuba." And I said, "But I never been in Cuba."
He was one of the lucky ones, released alive after 3 weeks.
I believe that the United States was blind by the fact that we were not looking for exactly a communist regime in our countries. We were looking for justice.
Mauricio founded Stop Impunity, which organizes Salvadoran torture survivors to draw attention to human rights abusers in El Salvador and other countries. As the war began in Iraq, he saw in the nightly news the same exact techniques used on him: blindfolding, sleep deprivation, and beatings in an attempt to soften him up for interrogation.
For me, as a torture survivor, as a person who has already experienced war, I know that abuses are inherent to the war. You cannot have a clean war. You have to have rapings, killings, torture. It's impossible. That is war. That is the meaning of war. And when I saw the prisoners, the Iraqi prisoners being captured and being blindfolded by the USA Army, I knew it. I immediately began to have nightmares and problems, you know, because I got flashbacks of what happened to me.
He says the same people who are responsible for the atrocities in Central America are now in Iraq, like John Negroponte, former U.S. ambassador to Honduras, who assisted Central American death squads. Negroponte is now U.S. ambassador to Iraq. Father Bourgeois also draws parallels.
What really angered me was when the top general there addressed it. I'll never forget that interview when I was watching this on the national evening news. I think it was ABC. "Well, these are just a few bad apples." It was verbatim what they said about, you know, the torture manuals and those who killed the Jesuits and the church women and El Masote, and the list simply went on and on. And that really angered me. But, I must say they're consistent in telling the lies, you know, trying to downplay the evil and the seriousness of all of this.
In 2003, Mauricio won a landmark case in a U.S. court against the generals who were, through a chain of command, responsible for his torture. The generals were held liable for thousands of murders and countless acts of torture at the hands of the Salvadoran security forces during the country's 12-year civil war. He says the generals and the commanders in Iraq should also be held accountable.
The Bush administration and the commander of the army, they are trying to avoid their responsibility. And that is, for me, the importance of the people of the United States to fight for accountability, to make possible that those guys accept what they have done.